I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This story is funny and scary all at the same time.
What happened?
Well, you can't imagine a man of this age causing too much damage doing this to somebody else.
Okay.
Yet, at the same time, he could be putting himself in a very dangerous spot if he messes with the wrong person.
What happened?
Well, look, it would definitely be a test in patience if you were on the receiving end of And if someone in your family was capable of this as his life was getting to this point, you'd have to keep an eye on them for the rest of their lives for the sake of their own well-being.
Oh, that sucks.
You're hanging out in the break room. Watch just classic rock, 96.5. WCMF. We'll jump right into it. The story comes to us from Batavia, and we don't have any details.
Okay.
What we do know is a man was charged with harassment after police say he hit a person during an altercation on Mill Street, like physically struck.
Oh, yeah, throw a punch or something?
You got it. Mm-hmm. Also, the alleged hitter is 83 years old.
Oh, Jesus Christ, man.
An 83-year-old man from Batavia accused of hitting someone during an altercation.
That's got to be like punching paper mache.
Seems like it'd be easy to dodge.
Okay, so let's...
Slow-moving punch.
It's a great point. Like, you know, I don't want to be a victim blamer here, but how do you not see a right hand from an 83-year-old coming? Okay, so the octogenarian has been charged with harassment. He's got a court date coming up. And I think being hit by an 83-year-old man would be a tough experience to wrap your head around. Because on one hand, if it's gotten to the point where they decided to get violent,
yeah,
you'd probably already be upset.
Sure.
And that man getting physical with you would probably make you more upset. That being said, to your paper mache point a second ago, it would... It's hard to imagine even the toughest 83-year-old man in America doing damage, hitting most people.
So who's the famous boxer from town here?
Carmen Basilio.
Okay. So Carmen, anytime you met him, his big thing was he would punch you in the chest.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like softly. He would pop you in the chest. I don't know how old he was at the time.
He was in his 80s.
So I mean, when I got punched by him when he came on the show, because I didn't know anything about this guy. And he said, hey, pow. And he was in his 70s. He said, God damn, man, that hurt.
Okay.
And he had one of them big, knuckly Italian fists. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know plenty. I've been hit with plenty of them.
Yeah. Italian men have the nastiest knuckles on the planet.
Okay. I will give
They're like sea urchins.
I'll give you one exception.
Right.
If he's a former
middleweight
champion, but a former belt holder, that guy at 83
he was in his 70s,
can
still bring it. But other than that, to your point, I guess, but even Carmen at 83, I don't know, how long did he even go?
I think he went into his 90s.
Oh, okay.
And he looked like it.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't want to be hit by Carmen Basilio at 93 years old. The point I'm making is, if you were the victim of an 83-year-old hitting you, it wouldn't hurt, it may make you angry.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
But you'd have to be cool, because if you hit that guy back, you could legitimately kill them.
Yes. And you're also in trouble.
You're
probably going to do more damage.
And even if you're not in trouble, if someone else were to see you hit an 83-year-old, no matter
done.
What,
yeah.
you're the monster dick,
yeah.
right? You would just have to take that 83-year-old's punch.
Absorb the punch.
Yeah. Like a little bitch you won't throw back.
Yep.
You were going to say, Kimmy, I'm sorry.
I don't remember.
Okay. Now, here's what we don't have in this story. We don't have the age of the alleged victim, right? Because this could have been another old man, in which case now we have a situation. But if this is someone younger, it makes this situation very, very complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Because what do you do? Do you even call the cops on an 83-year-old
man? You just got to walk it up. What
and by younger, you could say somebody in their late 60s and they're younger. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to still be a pretty big difference between the two.
What if the old man starts taunting you after he punches you? Yeah, now you can take it. Your whole generation, old mouth, no trouser.
I'm going to start using that. I'm stealing all mouth, no trouser.
Because he'd have one of them old-time put-downs.
Yeah, he would. You can't hit him back.
You can't do anything, man.
I will say this. I would definitely call the cops.
Even that, man.
No, I'm sorry, man. Look.
I don't even want to do that. Because then even people walking by see you talking to a cop. Young guy, old guy, you still look guilty.
For the sake of, no, who cares if I look guilty? I don't care.
And no matter what you say, it's just, he's just going to keep coming at you if he doesn't have the last word.
Even if he's done physically hurting me, Kenny, for the sake of this 83-year-old man's safety, you hit me, I'm calling the cops. Because if you don't call the cops, there's a pretty good chance he's going to go hit someone else. And that person may not be as cool as I am in this scenario.
But what if the cops don't believe you? Or they believe the old guy?
Look at this liver spot that's now stuck on my face. Transferred. All right, Kimmy, I'm going to ask you a question.
Yeah.
And let's keep in mind, we're all friends here, okay? You've worked with Tommy for a long time.
Uh-huh.
You see him getting up and out of chairs. How where is that physically?
No, I'm slowing down.
Do you think an 83-year-old man could drop Tommy Mulet with a punch?
What do you think?
I'm asking her.
Yeah, I can tell you.
Right on the chin.
I think he would definitely get, he would knock him off balance, if anything.
I'm wearing my balance shoes.
they're old balance?
Yeah.
I don't know if it would hurt so much, how much damage he would do to the spot where the punch landed, but Tommy would definitely fall on his ass.
Are you okay with that?
Well, I knew that was coming.
Oh, no,
that's not a shocking statement.
I don't know. I mean, he's taken a couple of good punches back then. Remember that time he peed his pants?
Well, I didn't get punched. I got hit in the head with a gun.
Okay.
A little different.
But that was after, but I already peed.
But that gun knocked you unconscious.
Oh, yeah, it was pistol whip.
No, I get it. I'm not judging him. I'm just saying, that 83-year-old's putting you down. You're going down.
I don't think I'd wet myself.
I mean, a kickball took you out.
Didn't wet myself.
Okay. So with this story of an 83-year-old man in Batavia accused of hitting somebody else, being charged with harassment, there are three people in this story, if the allegations are true, that need to be concerned.
All right.
Okay, so one would be the victim, but it sounds like that person's okay. Yeah. We'll move on from them. Two, the 83-year-old man.
Grandpa. Yeah.
Yes. He's facing charges. He could have gotten his ass kicked, like we said, by someone else, right?
Yeah.
But the person who may have to be the most concerned in this story, any family member of the 83-year-old man accused of
the crime. Even his old lady, old granny.
You got it. If you find out that your elderly dad, grandpa, is out in public punching people.
Yes.
You've got serious issues.
You got to dial them back.
Well, Tommy, you got to be concerned for their safety.
Yeah.
You have to be concerned for other people's safety.
Liability, man.
And reputation.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, you got to take him. You would almost have to seize control of his life.
Okay. Like forever.
Yeah.
For the rest of his life.
Like power of attorney stuff. Like, yeah.
How do you handle the first conversation with dad or grandpa when something like this happens? Do you scold them? Do you threaten to take things away? Because you could take away access to the kids, the grandkids, right? You could take away access, like, I'm not giving you a ride to bingo or wherever the hell he wants to go.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, your brothers had to deal with this with your dad. He was almost charged with assault in the home.
Yes, yeah.
So they had to kind of keep their eye on him more, so take away some of their...
Yeah, I mean, the sheriff came to the nursing home.
Yeah.
And, you know, she could have made life miserable for my father.
I'm sure he charmed her.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet as your lips. You know, they say a kiss from Mike Mulet is good luck.
He started putting on his surgical gloves. So
you're going to jail a long time for that one.
But I could also have this. I could see myself having to have this conversation with my older brothers.
Yeah.
They both are in their late 70s and live in the South, which means one of them's going to end up on CNN.
Well,
and not because of the tornado or the hurricane.
I also wonder, too, because you talk about your brothers and they stay in shape, right? Like they're in pretty good shape for their age. And I wonder if that almost empowers guys
absolutely.
As they age, too, like thinking like, well, I still go to the gym. Mm-hmm. I still lift or I still run. I still do activities so I can handle myself. And I think it almost gives you a little bit more confidence than the average person might have in this situation.
That's a great call.
Yeah, my oldest brother especially is on the verge of that all the time.
Well, you bring up an interesting point because you said you would have this conversation with your brothers.
You have to.
But you wouldn't because like you're the younger brother there. Like I get like a son or a grandson feeling responsible to take care of that situation. I mean, you're like with all due respect, you're to the side of the family tree. It's I would argue it's not your place to have this conversation.
But I might have to because, like, his wife doesn't have any children.
Okay.
And I only have one niece, and by the way, she's in her 50s.
Okay.
And she'd probably be cheering them on. I mean, she's a tatted-up 50-year-old South Florida woman.
Completely unnecessary.
No, but I'm saying, like,
completely unnecessary.
You kind of know where she's coming from.
For God's sake.
She's running two different dart leagues.
Where does she work?
She has three different jobs by the airport. But she doesn't actually work at the airport.
What was she? What does she wear when she goes outside?
All her clothes are birthday presents.
I don't
know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I may have to be that guy to go, hey, bro, we got to have a talk here.
Yeah, but if you're the only level-headed person and all these people you're describing, is it your responsibility or are you just like too much for me to handle?
No, but if it's family, it's going to blow back on you.
Okay.
I'm going to get some stuff on me.
Look, I admire you for being willing to have that conversation because yeah. I don't think I would be. If it was my brother, hey, man, there's other people that can handle this.
But you've got siblings where, you know, my one sister's passed. My other brother doesn't have a relationship with him. I have a deep relationship with my brother, my oldest brother. So I would have to be that guy if my sister-in-law wasn't in the picture.
All right, I get what you're saying.
And my niece is cheering him on.
It's so weird to me where he's kind and loving and where he is the most cold, distant human being when it comes to family and friends. Because
yeah.
I would not have expected that answer from you.
Well, I've always had a good relationship with both my brothers.
Okay.
But you even have the excuse of distance and you're still not taking it.
Yeah, he can't punch you from Florida. we got Facebook messages coming in. You can always get us at WCMM for the Break Room Facebook page. Again, talking about this 83-year-old man out in Batavia who was arrested for harassment after police say he hit someone during an argument. Brian writes, Duffy, don't think older people aren't strong. I worked in an assisted living home. I've been hit pretty hard by men and women in their 70s and 80s. If they want to, they could punch you real good.
Well, I think all them old people got one good punch left in them if they use it wisely. Like, they don't have a counter. You know what I mean?
No, yeah. Oh, there's no right hand coming after the left?
Yeah, yeah.
This is all I got.
But I think everybody's got one in them if you catch it at the right time.
You just got to get lucky. Is it the bony hands? I'm serious. Why would it hurt?
Your knuckles just, like, protrude at some point.
Well, can you age out of old man strength? Because we talk about that, but is there an age where it's just, like, the old man strength does not exist in
people have strokes, they can't get out, you know, they're not mobile.
But even past that, yes, I would argue you start to see guys getting frail. Like, yeah, I think your old man strength peaks at like 40, 50 years old, and then it's downhill from there.
Yes.
Right?
But there are some guys that, you know, go along and in pretty good shape.
Sure. No, look, I'm not saying there aren't people. Even you say those guys are rare.
But they are. You know, most guys start looking like the Pope, the one we got right now.
By the way, that Pope still looks good. He was a bouncer. I would not take a punch in the Pope.
Now?
He seems like he's on the mend. He doesn't? I mean, he was going to die 2 weeks ago, and all of a sudden he's good.
You know you're not going good when they say you're going good, but they only take a photo of you from behind, watching something else.
What was the Pope watching on TV?
He was like some kind of mass. He was back for some kind of mass.
That makes sense. It'd be funny if he was watching like Seinfeld on Netflix.
He might have been doing that, too.
He doesn't believe what I believe, but he makes me laugh. No, but like when it comes to going back to Brian's Facebook message about getting hit pretty hard by men and women in their 70s and 80s, you would think that punch would do more damage to the puncher than the punchee. Like,
break your hand or
something. Yes, they would have to shatter their hands.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Unless they don't have enough power behind it.
Unless they've been drinking a lot of milk.
Are old hitters guys who were hitters all their lives?
Oh, they're hotheads, yeah.
You think so?
Oh, sure.
Well, no, I mean, there's a difference. Look, there are hotheads who don't hit. There are guys who just get angry and they don't get physical.
Yeah.
Because like,
you don't know what it would be like to feel underestimated at that age, right? Because I would think that would build up over time, where maybe you weren't like a fighter when you were younger because you just kind of felt like you stood tall on your own. Like,
okay.
You know, nobody was really going to challenge you. But when you get to that age where you feel like somebody's challenging me because they see me as weak.
Okay.
But certain guys don't age well. And it's control freak. Type A personality guys, right? So my dad was that kind of guy, did not age well. He also had a buddy, he was a short little Italian guy, but he was rich. And his name was Danny DiNicola.
Love it.
And he also wore a toupee. And he was one of those guys, no matter what time of the day around a condo, always looked sharp. Always had like a tailored outfit on, but he had bank. But he was also a hothead.
Okay.
And super opinionated. And as a kid, he boxed, back Golden Gloves and in the Navy or whatever. Hadn't boxed in years. Goes in a nursing home, starts getting a dementia, right? Starts thinking he's a boxer again.
Oh, no.
He starts taking swings at people out of the blue.
No. Oh, just random people.
Out of the blue, Danny's all of a sudden punching again. Like, you know, he's in the Merchant Marines. You know, all the guys are on deck watching him. People could do damage.
Yeah, well, but they do say, keep punching.
Yeah. And I'm again, little Sicilian dude with them gnarly knuckles.
All right, so I guess what we've learned in this whole discussion is that you don't have to be scared of an 83-year-old man throwing a punch unless it's a tiny Italian man.
Look at his hands.
With, as you put it, gnarly Italian
yes.
knuckles.
Yes. They look like barnacles on the side of a ship.
If you opened up a bar on the west side and called it gnarly Italian knuckles, that place would be packed every
oh,
night.
Oh, yeah.
Gnarly Nucks?
Gnarly Nucks.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
There are two seasons in Rochester.
What do you got?
Winter
mm-hmm.
and construction.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And construction season starts now! Because one project that is going to span the length of the greater Rochester area desperately needs to be taken care of.
Okay, well, let's do it.
It also is going to make all of our lives a living hell.
Ooh, damn. Yeah.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Yesterday, it was announced New York State is starting a $61 million improvement plan to replace bridges on 490.
Oh.
Now, it looks like this round will be the bridges over the Erie Canal, and is it Craigie Road in Parenton? Craig Road in Parenton?
Maybe.
Okay. Story says these bridges were built in 1951.
So that's when they built the expressway.
That's, so it sounds like these are the original. The
original goddamn overpass.
That's over 75 years Ooh. Ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now they're going to be.
It's time.
They're going to be replaced with more modern structures that has engineering developed post color television.
Oh. So these won't have wood in them.
This is pretty good. I'm excited about that. So on one hand, this is a godsend.
Oh yeah.
Some of these bridges on 493, 95, 90.
Bro, they're scary to look at.
Bro, you end up under them at a stoplight.
Mm.
You do not look up.
No.
Do not look up. Because there was that story on 10 a couple years ago where there was concrete literally falling off of
falling pieces.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the bridge, the 390 bridge over Chalayev in Gates, right on the 19th Ward line. Horrifying.
Didn't they put like a safety net to catch the stones coming off of it?
Yeah, Mick. They caught Mick in there. Remember what it sounded like when Mick fell off?
I couldn't look out. Look out, you bloody bastard.
So thank you for finally getting this stuff taken care of. On the other hand.
Maybe there's a reason they waited till the last possible minute.
Well, I think that's money and pushing it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Kimmy, you think they were waiting just because of the massive inconvenience that's coming?
Well, I'm guessing, like, you know, if they thought it could last for a little while, they're not going to start it until they have to, knowing now what
the
we
traffic.
Know about how what it takes to fix this problem.
This is going to be a nightmare. Officials have already said, before the work has even begun, that traffic will be down to one lane every bridge they're working on.
Yeah.
And that you should already start to come up with a different route.
Well, you just have to stay off the highway.
I mean, Kimmy, you're under the impression that you should start to come up with that alternate route now.
I guess, like, because this could last a few years, from what they're saying, you might as well get used to taking a different way to work, right? Because that way, when it does hit, you're already used to it. You're already in your new routine. So it's not even something you're going to think about.
Okay.
I am surprised, though. We do go in way early in the morning, but there have been a couple of times where I couldn't use to go on the highway. I had to just come down Monroe.
Yeah.
And the time was just about the same.
Really?
At that time, day.
Yeah. When you're not dealing with traffic.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you just zip through. I'm going, man, this really doesn't hinder me that much.
Okay, so I take West Henrietta Road to Mount Hope in every day. I take 490 home. If I take it in at 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, there's nobody but with squirrels and hookers.
Takes me 18 minutes.
Yeah.
It takes me about half an hour if I take that route on the way home.
Oh, I say 10 minutes.
But that's not during rush hour. That's like 10:30 in the morning.
Just because there's more people on the road.
The problem is everybody's going to start doing that.
That's yes. Yeah. Yes. And that's where the question comes up. And the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Are you a traffic sitter or are you an alternate router? Because those are two very different kinds of people,
yes.
Tommy. At least they think they are. Because the fact of the matter is, like you just said, the alternate route is also going to have a bunch of traffic.
Yeah.
It's not like you have some super secret way that no one else has ever heard of before. It's just a matter of time before everybody's on your secret route.
Like everybody's ready to go to the Bills game or Darien. Like everybody's got this secret trap doorway in.
Yep. All right. So what way would be more efficient? Is it giving yourself an extra 15 minutes to sit on 490? Or is it rolling the dice with stoplights, potential accident delays, standard highway, off-highway kerfuffles on, like, you know, 441 or Jefferson Road or whatever.
The problem is if you take the expressway, you're stuck. You know what I mean? You're just sitting there. You know what I mean?
But you make it sound like you're not stuck if you take the non-expressway.
Well, you may have side streets. You could pull a move, maybe, but you can't do that on the expressway.
Yeah, I think some people just want to feel like they're moving, even if it's taking them longer, technically. Or
if you don't have any patience, you got to take a side street.
Look, I am the one to feel like I'm moving guy, but the idea, because, see, you're already doing it. You're already doing it. Like, oh, if I take the off-road, I could take a left down here and right. Everyone will be doing that if there's traffic.
I know.
Again, there's not some secret route that you could, like, press a button and, like, a cave opens up like it's Batman.
But at least I'm making, my wheels are rolling, I feel like I'm getting somewhere. Maybe I ain't.
Okay. It's a stupid way to think.
Yes.
You're stupid. 252-WCMF. Let's talk to Robbie. Robbie, how are you, buddy?
Yeah, not too bad. And yourself?
Good. What's up, man?
Yeah, remember when that tanker that caught fire underneath the I-95 bridge in Philadelphia?
Yes, vaguely.
That thing warped, and it got, but they replaced it in like 2 months. So why can't they bring that sense of urgency to the other projects?
So they put a temporary in quickly. They didn't put the...
Quickly. They put a temporary in within a week.
Yeah, but then they had to work on a real thing.
After that, they ripped it out and put in a real one.
Okay, so Rob, I'm going to give you what I got here. It says that they'll be replacing bridges along 490, so I'm assuming that's the stretch throughout all of Monroe County. They say it should be done in the fall of 2027. I'm going to be honest with you, Rob. As much as I am not looking forward to this inconvenience, based on the fact that they haven't been rebuilt since 1951, I'm fine with all the time you need here, man. I don't want to fall through a bridge.
But, hey, they can do it right and do it quick.
All right, Rob, do it right. Do it quick. That's my taxes. That's my taxes. All right, Rob. Thanks for the call, buddy. I appreciate it. You know,
I don't want them to rush this bridge job.
No, you don't.
Like, do it the right way and, you know, take your time if you have to.
You know, if only they would talk to Rob
about
how to get it done fast and right.
That's right. Go to Philadelphia. They did it.
2-5. Yeah, because if there's one place you want to emulate, it's the non-corrupt city of Philadelphia. 252-WCMF. Victor's on. Hey, Victor, how are you, buddy?
Hey, yeah. So to answer your question, this traffic sitter or alternate router, I will go out of the way to find an alternate route, even if it's slower. I can't sit in traffic.
Okay, but so here's what I'm asking. I get it, because I'm with you. If I feel like I'm moving, I feel like I'm doing it better. What I'm asking is, which one is actually more efficient, like mathematically?
I feel like it goes both ways. I feel like sometimes I'll be faster, sometimes it'll be slower.
Is that both way, man?
Okay, no. Okay, but okay, no, I get it. I get that there are days. I'm talking if I'm going to do one thing every day.
Yeah.
And then, like, average out at the end how long my route is going to be. Is it smarter to stay and just plan for the extra 15? Or is it smarter to go with the variables every single day?
Find a new way around.
Yeah, which way is the smarter way to go? I need a math guy. Victor, are you a math guy?
Oh no, I'm horrible at math, but I'd go the alternate route.
Victor's out.
90 gets bad.
Victor, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day. There goes Victor.
The one thing I'd be afraid of is by the time I take the alternate routes and I change it all the time and I finally find that way that works.
Okay. Yeah.
That'll be like the last day and then they put the bridge. You get out of work, like by the time you figure stuff out, you don't need it anymore.
You're absolutely right.
It took you a month to figure it out.
You're absolutely right.
Have you ever tried to find an alternate route in a place you're not familiar with and you think you're cruising and you're like, yes, I found this magical route. I'm getting around it. Only to like pop right back out like a quarter mile down the road.
Yeah.
Like you skipped like 10 cars in the end, but you thought like you found something special.
No, you're absolutely right. And what sucks about where they're starting this, so, you know, West Side Kid, live in Henrietta.
Mm-hmm.
I am not familiar at all with the side streets on the east side.
Yeah, me either.
Like, I'm all highway, and, like, my daughter plays hockey out there sometimes, especially in the summertime. So I'm going to have no way to – I'm going to be forced to take the highway because I'm not going to know how to get around in Parenton and Penfield and all the other P's out there.
Yeah, I don't know the back roads.
Because, no, that's where I screw – like, here, well, there's something about the east side that really pisses me off.
What's that?
Why is everything so far away from everything else?
Oh, because we put it way over there.
No, like you really did put everything. Okay, let me give you an example.
What do you mean, like town to town?
All right, Rochester Ice Center is the old Thomas Creek out in Fairport.
Okay.
Right? All right. So like almost every other ice rink in the greater Rochester area, right off the highway.
Yeah.
Right? You go to Lakeshore, around the corner, you're there. You go to Tim Hortons Ice Place, bang, 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 boom, you're there. The one is literally you could jump off the inner loop and be at Center Ice if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Thomas Creek, you get off 490. You got to drive like through, like, neighborhoods.
It's back there.
For, like, 15 minutes.
Yeah. Mm.
You pass Clausen's, which I didn't even know was a thing until my kids started playing hockey. Then you got to go through like gravel roads, and then here's an ice rink. There's no efficient way to get to Rochester Ice Center. And it drives me nuts. What are you doing on the east side?
They like to hide all their eyesores. If it doesn't look appealing, they'll stick it way back.
It's very nice. They're building a new rink out there, too.
Oh, look at that. I did not know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It just pisses me off. Every time I go to the east side, you can't get there from here.
Yeah, it's by design.
Why?
I do feel like, do east siders not travel between towns as much as west siders do? Like you stay in Pittsburgh, and you don't go to like Penfield.
I don't need to. There's nothing. So there's nothing like, outside of my immediate circle that I need. I never have to leave my neighborhood.
It's so strange because I'm thinking like as a kid growing up in like Hilton Greece area. Like we went to Greece, we go to Spencerport, we knew kids at Brockport. But I don't know. Maybe that's just from being younger and growing up on the other side.
No, you bring up a great point. Gates melts into Greece, which melts into Hilton. Yes, Gates melts into Charlie. You don't know when you're changing towns.
Yeah.
When you're driving off the highway through towns on the east side, there's like wilderness between the towns. Like there's a bridge you have to answer.
I don't think you guys talk to each other over there.
What the hell is that about?
But the cultures are different, the time zones, the money. Yes,
you're on Pittsburgh Standard Time. You know the folks that are going to have it the worst? Again, we're talking about the state of New York announced they are doing repairs, I guess rebuilds, of bridges along 490. They say the work will be done by fall of 2027. They are they're warning people this is going to be traffic.
Painful.
And that everything will be down to one lane when they get work, and they're suggesting people find alternate routes. The folks who have it the worst are not the folks delayed on 490.
Yeah.
Not the folks finding the alternate route.
Who's that?
The people who live, work, and are forced to use the alternate route everyone will start taking.
Oh, yeah.
If you live on a main road, that half rush hour traffic that is about to start to use your road is going to be a nightmare.
It's going
to
piss you off.
Like, if you have a driveway where you have to back out onto a main road, you got to start backing into your driveway.
And you keep getting stuck behind people looking for something.
Yes.
Slowing down. Is this the road? Nope. This must be the road. Nope.
Yeah, the traffic. That's going
to
blow.
And think about how many times you have to get in and get out of your driveway as a normal person, right? Work, activities for your kids, people coming over, you going to see other people.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, hell, just add 5 minutes every time you have to pull out of your damn driveway.
And sometimes you won't think because you're so used to just pulling out. You're going to get clipped.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to all of you that'll be dealing with that.
Hey, but progress, come on. Get new bridges.
Come on. No, look.
By 2027.
Well, Rob says we can do it fast. We can do it right.
Put it up in a minute.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Tommy, you familiar with The Athletic?
It's like a website, right?
Subscription service done by the New York Times. Really great sports place.
In depth.
I highly recommend it. I have a subscription myself.
Oh, look at you.
So they did a poll earlier this week to find the worst owner in the NHL. Mm. And they asked NHL fans, right? Folks that buy the tickets, go to the games. In a poll of tens of thousands of fans, Terry Pegula, owner of the Buffalo Sabres, came in dead last. And like dead last by a lot.
So they're saying he's the worst owner in the NHL, according to this poll.
Without question, hands down. Last year he was 27, not great.
Hey.
Turns out 27, way better than last.
Yeah.
Okay. So by the way, it's not surprising.
Yeah, they haven't won in forever.
Well, they won last night, 3-2, overtime.
Hold on, pump the brakes.
Alex Tuch sent him home. Sabres have not made the playoffs in, 14 years now?
You tell me.
Yeah, I think so. They've also let major young talent walk out the door, only to see them immediately have massive success.
Happens every year.
They win every year. Yeah. There's a Stanley Cup.
I remember that guy.
The arena in Buffalo, which was at one point one of the toughest tickets to get in the NHL, is half empty on a regular basis. It is bad.
Yeah.
It is really, really bad.
Come see guys that may potentially win a Stanley Cup somewhere else.
And there isn't really an easy way out of the situation they're in, which makes it even worse. Like, Kimmy, in the beginning of the drought, it was frustrating, but there was hope.
Well, yeah, and you kind of had these the guys that you brought in that you thought were going to be franchise guys and lead the team to success eventually. but the relationship soured almost every time.
Somehow there's no success and no hope right now for Sabres fans, right? Okay. Yet, Terry Pegula, who owns the Buffalo Sabres, obviously also owns the Buffalo Bills. And in a recent report card from NFL players, he was ranked as one of the best owners in the NFL. It is night and day.
Yeah.
How can you be one of the best NFL owners and one of the worst NHL owners?
I mean, it's got to be where the priorities go, right? Like, all his attention and money are going to the bigger prize.
Well, I think that's the argument that people who probably work on the Sabre side of things make. I wonder how much really changed after the Pegulas took over the Bills.
Okay. Like,
did they drop the ball with the Sabres, or just have things been is it partly just that the team's been bad that people aren't happy?
And here's the thing. Now, look, I understand your argument there. I get it. The fact of the matter is, at least historically, Terry Pegula has been way more of a hockey guy than he was.
That's kind of how he got into this, right?
Through hockey. In fact, there's this really great video, at least, you know, what we thought was sweet at the time. He buys the team, and the old French connection, three of the greatest Sabres players of all time, surprise him on the ice. And, you know, he's a guy in his 60s.
Yeah.
He looks like he's 7 years old again. Yeah. He's just, like, freaking out that these guys are there. These are, teams that he watched growing up. He was in heaven. Hockey heaven, Tommy. Yeah. So I would have thought more attention was going to go to the hockey team just because he loved it
so
much.
He did, until he got a taste of the NFL, where all the action is. I mean, that's where all the action is.
Okay.
Think about it. It's,
well, it helps the team's been good, too. Because I don't know if you can make that argument if they just kept going the way they were.
But even a crappy team does really well financially.
Yes, you're right about that.
You know what I mean? Like, and he's a businessman. Like, I'm surprised he hasn't sold the Sabres. He just got rid of them.
I don't know. Well, okay, so there are a lot of Sabres fans who want him to sell.
Because he's probably already made his money on the Sabres.
Yeah.
Just based on the value of the team going up.
No, look, I know that the NHL, it's harder to make money. Some teams have to operate at a loss every once in a while.
But the value of the team goes up, and he gets the equity from that, right?
Yeah, I would assume so. Yes, yes. But
he could be making $1 billion. He could use it.
For all the Sabres fans that have been screaming for Pegula to sell the team,
careful,
I understand
what you ask for.
Exactly. Like, there's no guarantee whoever comes in and buy it doesn't move that team out of Buffalo. Right.
So is the guys at the top of the Sabres, are they involved with the Bills of the Sabres? Do they co-manage at all?
So they used to. They have completely separated it now. Yeah. And the argument
what do they call it, One Buffalo?
Yeah.
Brand, essentially.
It's what it was. The argument was that the co-managing is what was damaging the Sabres brand.
All right, we fixed that.
Split it up. Didn't fix it.
And now we're in worse shape.
I mean, I guess it's possible. I'm already getting people writing saying that the Bills have Josh Allen and the Sabres don't. I mean, they had Jack Eichel. He's a generational talent. Say what you want about him as a person. The guy could play hockey.
Yeah, I mean, they've had names come through.
Yeah, yes. And like we said, Sam Reinhart, Jack Eichel, Brandon Montour, Ryan O'Reilly, just to name a few, have all won Stanley Cups and been major parts of their teams after leaving. All those guys were on the roster at the same time.
Was he part of the, was it Ryan Miller, the goalie?
Yeah, but he was. Was he
pre him?
Was
that Golisano?
Yeah. Right. If they overlapped, it was brief.
Right.
Yeah. But could it be luck? Like, Pegula hired a no-name GM.
That's a long stretch of bad luck.
Well, here's the thing, though. Like, McDermott and Brandon Bean, the general manager, get hired by Pegula after he tried Rex Ryan.
Yeah.
Nobody knew who Brandon Bean was. Nobody knew who McDermott was. And it worked swimmingly.
Yeah.
And I get that maybe you saw something in them and the right people said something, but that's a luck hire, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Mixed with a great quarterback pick.
Yes.
But this team, like you said, though, this Sabres team has got no luck.
But that's what I mean.
It's got, like, redheaded luck.
I guess what I'm getting at is, let's say Sean McDermott comes in and doesn't have the success in the first 3 years. He goes 500, like all the other, you know, your Mike Mularkeys, your...
Same old, same old.
Yeah. And they fire him. Are the Sabres and Bills still in this same spin in their tires rut? Like, I guess it's possible that you got unbelievably lucky finding the two greatest guys that could have happened in this Bills franchise, and it just hasn't happened in
came
the
Sabres. Together, yeah.
Maybe.
How hard is it once you get into, like, this rut of a revolving door of coaches, a revolving door of GMs, to the point where even if you get that, if you score that generational talent, but they come in with this kind of chip on their shoulder, like, we aren't the important team here. Like, we're not getting the attention. We're not getting the resources we need.
No support.
Is it just never going to happen until? Because I think the other part of with the Bills, like, yes, like, they had to hit on a coach and new GM, but there was all everything was new at the time. Like, new owner, well, newish owner. So it kind of felt like, oh, we're all starting together here.
Yeah.
Whereas if you bring somebody in with this Sabres organization that already people aren't feeling too great about, I don't know how you can recover from that.
I mean, look, I think...
Like, where's the hope?
Oh, I'm with you.
I always thought if you had an older owner, there would be more of a sense of urgency to win based on their age. Like, you know, these guys are competitive. They put all this money in. They want a champion. And if they're older, they're thinking, you know, time's running out.
Yeah.
So I'm going to push. I'm going to spend because I want that glory. But he doesn't seem to have that with the Sabres.
I mean, in his defense, now they haven't spent a lot of money the last couple of years. But, I mean, they have tried everything. They brought in Stanley Cup-winning coaches. That failed. They brought in Lindy Ruff, who's a coaching legend. That didn't go well. They brought in brand-new faces to try and shake things up. That didn't work. I mean, they've traded for play. It's just when they get here, it just goes terribly, and I can't figure it out. I mean, Danny's writing us on Instagram. Again, we're talking about Terry Pegula, owner of the Buffalo Sabres, was ranked by fans as the worst owner in the NHL. Terry Pegula, owner of the Buffalo Bills, was ranked by players as one of the best owners in the NFL. Doesn't make sense. Danny writes us, Amerks are usually a fantastic team. Sabres almost always suck. How can the Sabres affiliate have so much talent, yet the Sabres always suck? Make it make sense. Also doesn't make sense.
It is a weird side by side. By the way, you're right, especially the last few years.
Pegula also owns the Amerks.
Yeah.
Oh, he does?
Amerks really good.
Yeah.
Sabres not good. Make it make sense!
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.